and I possess within ourselves at every moment of our lives, under all circumstances, the power to transform the very quality of our lives. Do it. Dare yourself to transform.
Hello, loves. Welcome to this month's episode of Our Naked Truths, The Communion. Wherever you are, we invite you to join us. Perhaps pour yourself some tea. We're currently drinking our special OMT blend created to enhance relaxation, meditation and self-love by our trusted and loved sponsor, Mutulu Botanica. Check out their offerings on their website at www.mutulubotanica.com. Okay, let's go.
I vow to exist without fear, shame, or guilt. Daring to love myself with nothing to prove. You're listening to Our Naked Truths, The Communion. Sharing our stories of self-love and acceptance. So, be still, be present, and let's begin.
It feels like a million years, but we are back for another episode of The Communion. And guess who I have in the building? We have the one and the only creative director, designer, dancer, visionary, and founder of Sabaudet. I call it Sabaudet. Sabaudet Designs. Sandra Abode.
I'm feeling warm inside and fuzzy, honestly. Like, thank you for asking me to be here with you today. Yeah, I feel warm today. I feel good. I feel at peace. I feel content. Joy.
Yes. Yes to all of that. Yes, yes, yes. I feel warm and happy to have you here with me. And of course, you needed to be on this podcast because you're actually an integral part of the ONT journey. You've been here almost since its inception. You've also modelled for us, you know. Your journey has been amazing to witness. And I remember that session. So you can imagine, 15th of July, 2018. So almost 2 years to the day, you modelled and you set the theme, honouring your truth, because that was important for you at that time, for yourself journey. So I guess we'll start with, how was your ONT experience?
Hey, it was very, oh wow. It's taking me back because 2018 was a very, I don't remember all of it, but I feel like what I remember was like high and low periods, and actually accepting your invitation to do ONT was a step in the right direction of shedding for me. So it was very emotional. Like, I remember in that session as well, I had like a lot of things that I wanted to share, but for some reason I was crying majority of that session. Do you know what I mean? Like, when it came to just speaking. And I feel like the heart of the story of what I was even sharing in terms of like honoring my truth was the relationship with my dad, because 2 years prior I had moved out after moving in with some time and trying to give that relationship space to grow. So honoring my truth, because that's like one of the big relationships where I've had to figure out what truth means, it triggered me, you know, to really kind of like peel open that story and like, I guess, the emotions it had left me with, you know, and things that had happened in that space that obviously had I chosen, it wouldn't have gone down like that. Also, I remember you asking me to move in that session, you know, to do like, yeah, just react to the sound and then hold the pose. I feel, and moving, and as a naked body in a room, you know, obviously with people that I do not know. I think God, for me anyway, had just like made it such an intimate group, because I probably, you know, I probably would have just been like, you know what, today I'm not ready. You know, so in terms of the number of people who was there, like, it was all meant to be, you know, and that was the start of my journey to really just like find out what truth means, accept my tears, but also know that I have to be able to speak through them.
Yeah, yeah. I remember it being a really powerful session, in the sense that, I mean, every session is powerful. For when somebody is willing to honor, reclaim, and redefine their truth in front of a room of people that they do not know, whilst after bearing their physical self naked, you know, it's powerful, because it not only is it powerful for that person to reclaim their story in front of us, but it's powerful for us to witness it. There are ebbs and flows, and I think it was really important for you to come and share your vulnerability with us and share your current experience without it being packaged in, you know, I figured it out and this is kind of what I've been doing. You brought us in, and it was a really beautiful invitation. It was really beautiful to witness, and people were touched by that. From that process of what was coming up for you post-session, what revealed itself to you?
I feel embracing my body more, seeing my body in a new light, you know, yes, through my own eyes rather than anyone else's. I mean personally I didn't know that I had such a big thing about my body. I grew in confidence, especially now that I'm really embracing dance and movement and stuff. I always say if I wasn't into design, like, I would be a dancer. But like, I feel like since then, that definitely unlocked something within me to just be like, you can be both in the front and the back. You can just be, do you know what I mean? Wherever you want to be, just be. As long as you're okay in your skin, then it actually sets everyone else at ease in terms of like how they treat you.
Powerful. Love it. Powerful. Wonderful. 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 Okay. So in terms of the themes, your theme was honoring your truth. Do you feel like the theme still applies in terms of its poignancy in your current state?
Yeah, I feel like that's a daily thing. You know, I feel like it will be a forever running theme in my life, you know, because it is a daily thing. And I feel like I've learned over time that the more that I speak my truth, the more it allows me to see how other people will receive me, and give them the courage and the strength to speak their truth too, you know? And that goes back to, like, you spoke on something in terms of like being in your own body. I hadn't really been in my body up until, I feel like was it 2018 when I done my first Vipassana, so the silent retreat, and you really had to sit with yourself, you know, that enabled me to really like, yeah, just literally sit with everything, you know, even to the point of just realizing like certain emotional reactions I will have to things that will have an impact on my body, you know, be it pain, be it like hot flushes, you know, be it these things that I'm just like, oh, it's because I have this mental pattern, that's why these things are now occurring in my body, you know. So it's like the more I can understand what my truth is and speak my truth out, I'm actually healing myself, you know, because obviously truth isn't always easy to handle, you know, and so let's not lie to ourselves, you know, like if that thing is a tough thing to accept, step away, you know, understand both sides of the coin, where that person is coming from and what was affected and them expressing that, so that when you come back, you can come back in honesty, in love, in compassion to hold space for them, you know, continuously. And then also, yeah, and know where your boundaries are. Know if that truth was too much, you know, and you actually have to close that chapter, let it be. Because another thing we need to accept is that there are seasons, right? Not everything is meant to last forever. And I was saying to my sister friend the other day, like, I've just found in my life at this point in time, and we all reach it, that obviously sheddings happen, and sheddings also happen in relationships. Some people that you carried from school will start dropping, and that's okay. No, reception primary school, secondary school. I went to 3 secondary schools, yeah? One mixed, then 2 others were girl schools. That experience, you know, I feel emotional right now. And I guess it's that thing of just like having to be the observer from the outside to understand how people move and how you're going to place yourself in certain friendship circles, you know, and when you are an open-hearted person and people are not used to experiencing that, that is abused, right? And, you know, lately we talk of cases that happen, you know, be it physical abuse or molestation when children are younger. And in my life, I give thanks that it's never been that, you know, that I've been physically abused. But because I grew up as an only child, I remember when I started, you know, trying to have my relationship with my dad, because I was just so to myself, his quick reaction would be like, ah, like, what's wrong? Have you been touched? Do you know what I mean? Why are you not open? And it's just like, no, like when you're in an unfamiliar setting, you just observe, like, is this setting safe? Do you understand? Like but some people abuse that kindness, you know? And I remember situations where, you know, one of my mom's closest friends literally, like, basically snaked the situation and just caused a ruckus, basically, you know, because they accused my mom of basically, you know, prostituting me and stuff like that. Yeah, it was a whole situation. It was a whole situation, Joss. And the thing is, the police had to come to my house. And I remember the policewoman taking me into the room and she was questioning me, like, has your mom ever this, that, any other? And for me, that was the biggest violation, because I know my mom, someone who spends time with her, do you get what I mean? I know she's a hardworking person. Do you understand? This woman has to rise up early, drop me at the nannies, go to work, go and study, and then come back. And then to have people be like, you're not raising this child right, it's just like, who what gives you the right? Do you understand? And that's an abuse of power. That's an abuse of, you know, someone who is kind-hearted. Now,
thank you for sharing that with us. Thank you for being so open and so honest. That all makes sense, you know, to have your person questioned at a young age when people just didn't really understand. This is just how you move, you observe, you like to feel safe first, misinterpreting it. You know, shout out to them in the sense that they were aware that abuse actually happens in our community. There's a lot of parents that in our community, from the Black community, that adhere to more of a cultural silence around those things, but it's sad when it's misinterpreted, when someone's just demeanor of just being more calm, more reserved, more introspective, is being misconstrued and then projected onto the child and, you know, your mother, which is really sad. And yeah, it's an abuse of power to such a great extent.
Thanks.
Oh, you are so wonderful. You really are. Thank you. Thank you. You take time. Thank you. Ah, it's so powerful when one of us shares our vulnerability. It's just, I live for these conversations. They are so powerful. So grateful. So thankful.
Thank you for holding space.
Of course. Okay, I'm going to ask you a nice question. When do you, Miss Sabode, feel the most accepting of yourself?
In movement. You know, when I lose myself in movement, when I literally just, I feel like when I allow spirit to take over and I then become a vessel for whatever, you know, is communicated through that movement. Like Adwa dancing comes to mind. You know, the young girls in the Ghanaian community, you usually see them at, you know, wedding ceremonies, and, you know, it's that whole, for me, that's spiritual. Do you understand? Like, you know, like it's a whole download, and more time when I move, I'll be closing my eyes. And, you know, in recent situations, it's been like, you know, when I'm in that space, like, I'm literally envisioning the spirit world. Like, I cannot really, you know, bring words to really describe, but it's like there's a presence in a room and I'm just honoring that presence. And a release is also happening because a lot of, you know, our communication, majority of it is nonverbal, right? So whatever I feel that I can translate in movement is translated in that session. And, you know, that for me is a healing. And that's when I definitely feel, you know, feel at one with my body, because I am more than this body. So it's always beautiful to experience you know, the other side of that, the unseen of that, you know, which brings balance to this physical realm and the spiritual realm. So yeah,
movement is such a powerful practice, because you're absolutely right, it's not just about being able just to move and be in body. It's about being able to connect to your mind, body and soul, using your body as a vessel. And allowing the movement that happens with your physical self to connect to your ancestral world and your spiritual world. They're all interlinked and they all speak through us. And movement is one of the most innate, oldest practices of being able to communicate with the spiritual world, self, community, and our ancestors. Absolutely. I found it quite beautiful watching your kind of, you know, the fact that you were talking about how when you were younger you were naturally drawn to dance, you were a part of all of these extracurricular dance activities and dance groups, but there was a part of you where there was insecurity that kind of created a barrier to you pursuing that further. And now anybody who's following Sabode on Instagram, you'll be seeing, we get our every couple of days a cute video of you doing Shaka Shaka in the bedrooms. Shaku on the beach in the bedroom as your morning ritual, you know, allowing yourself to be seen, also like reclaiming that movement for yourself, allowing other people to witness it, and using that as a practice to get into your body to connect to your spiritual world and the ancestors. Wow, look at the journey, it's wonderful. I would love to share with the world is your beautiful love note that you shared. So I'm going to play that for us. And then after, I'd like you to share kind of what inspired that.
Dear Sandra and Oluwaseyi Ogbode, this is a note to remind me that I am fearfully and wonderfully made, made from the earth and universe. Remember that I possess all that I need within. God did not make me by mistake, nor do I come this way by chance. Spirit Divine knew me before I was formed in my mother's womb. My names mean defender of man, a powerful woman of prayer. God made this and home. Remember that within resides a holy temple. I will continue to blossom with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and love. So shall it be. It is already done. Ashe.
I feel watered by your words. I feel cleansed. I feel enveloped in love. It's just so nourishing. Thank you for sharing that with us. Please, 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 can you tell us what inspired that? Why did you need to hear that for yourself?
Oh, thank you for igniting that. And I love that you have that as a ritual to the communion. Because it's very important to write letters to self. Like, what inspired that? I'm holding in my hand of water and the spirit. What inspired? I don't know. When you told me to send that to you, the first thing that came to my mind is my name, right? And in the introduction to this book, it says, my name is Malidoma. It means roughly be friends with the stranger / enemy. Because the Dagara believe that every individual comes into this life with a special destiny. Some names are programmatic. They describe the task of their bearers and constitute a continual reminder to the child of the responsibilities that are waiting up ahead. A person's life project is therefore inscribed in the name he/she carries. And so for me, as I'm presently really, really, really being intentional with what my purpose is, it's very important for me to go back to my names, you know, and what they mean and how I continue to fulfill my project out in this realm, right? And my mom, like, that poem also was like prayers that my mom has, like, she leaves me love notes, you know, she would leave me like a note of prayer or something, you know, because she knows me. And to be honest, like, as a water sign as well, she's a Pisces and she's a dreamer. So that's where I got my, that's where she passed on, you know, vision to me. And you know, it's been really emotional just in my journey of understanding emotions for me to get this to this point of stability, right? So as her child, she's seen me, do you understand, go through the ups and the downs and stuff like that. So I feel like as her way to just impart her encouragement, she will leave me these notes and she'll always remind me, like, I love you, but God loves you so much more. I gave birth to you, but you are not mine. Do you understand? From that moment, they cut that umbilical cord. She's a midwife as well. So I get where her attachment and her, you know, her understanding comes from. But at the moment that they cut that umbilical cord, I gave you back to God, you know, to remind me that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Like, the sky is just the limit, you know, reach beyond that. And so for me, it was very important to remind myself that, you know, once again, nothing but happens by chance, and everything that happens in my life is very important that I seek wisdom, knowledge, and understanding as to why these things happen, so I don't make myself a victim. And that's something that for the longest I had to break out of when the whole episode with my dad happened, that I'm not a victim of this situation. In fact, it's just making me who I am meant to be, who I already am.
Our gentle reminder for this month is something that we needed to hear. You and I possess within ourselves at every moment of our lives, under all circumstances, the power to transform the very quality of our lives. Do it. Dare yourself to transform. Been thinking a lot about change, the shifts and changes that we've experienced over the past 5 months. There's been so much change, so many shifts, socially, politically, spiritually, astrologically, shifts in relationships, friendships, work environments, leading us closer to thinking about what our priorities are, what we want out of this life, what we're going to do, what do we stand for. And so I feel like now is the time to really hone in to what transformation means for us. What does that mean? What do you want? What is heavy in your life? What is bringing darkness? What is making you feel stuck? Now is the time to radically change that, to face your fears and challenge yourself. Look at what's keeping you heavy and stuck and change it, no matter how scary it is. You are still standing after the earth has been violently shook at its core. That is proof that you can withstand more than you think. Switch up your routine. Start that new initiative and end that relationship. Create new boundaries. Start therapy. Whatever you do, be prepared to radically transform. The time is now. You deserve it.
Was your first lesson in self-love?
I think firstly, understanding what love means. And this happened, I think, in the year of 2015, when Sis Dilemma called me up, and she was going through her first stages of really wanting to understand what self-love means. And she shared that love, in essence, means acceptance, right? Because I feel like love is something that I've been meditating on, but it's something that's been, too many meanings have come up. It's been too perverted in my eyes, yeah? That word, I'm glad that the acceptance came up instead of that word love, you know, so that I can more focus on what does acceptance mean? What does it look like in my life? So that was the first lesson, yeah, understanding that it means acceptance. And then actually going through the process of relationships and then having a relationship with myself, it's now for me, means, or the lesson is to put myself first. The more that I continue to do that, the more other things in my world will just fall into place. Because I've naturally just been a giver or a helper, you know, that can also be to the detriment of myself, because I'm giving essentially what I don't have or don't fully understand. But because that's just innately within me, or as women as well, do you know what I mean? To nurture, to nourish, to provide, it makes no sense, you know. And I'm sure a lot of us, you know, those that are listening will know this, that yeah, you can't pour from an empty cup. So it's been to put myself first.
For this week's ONT Loves, it's a special feature by one of our own, London-born, Nigerian-British author, poet, an incredible badass black woman, Sarah Aluku. Sarah Aluku's poetry speaks of womanhood, what it means to be black, our heartbreak, our loss, abuse, but also reclamation. She's built a following of thousands on social media. I'm one of them. And we consume her poems ferociously. Her writing speaks to the very heart. It speaks to the very honest, real, and pure experience of a black West African, London-born femme in the diaspora. In 2019, Sarah Aluku released her debut anthology, which is Firstborn, on International Women's Day. And Firstborn is a delightful book. At one of our sessions last year, I was invited to learn about her work by one of our previous muses, and she shared this book with me and with the room, and it touched my soul, one of the readings from it, so I had to go out and buy it. Firstborn is a collection of poetry first and foremost, but the book is divided into three sections: Dusk, Twilight, and Dawn, and each section unveils a different mountain. It deals with a different heartache and conquers a different war. The book depicts a journey of redemption through self-discovery, and the common themes running throughout the book are love, femininity, abuse, survival, and heartbreak. But whilst I read the book, I feel like as she shares all of these stages of her journey with us, what you can't take away is Sarah Luku's way of articulating what reclamation means to her whilst bravely sharing her experiences. She's writing her way back to herself and has invited us all to come and step in on that journey with her. Please take all your flowers, Sarah. I can't wait for your next book. I can't wait for your next writings. Your writing is so powerful, and we are so thankful for you.